Hello and welcome to the Albion Obsessed podcast. We join you on a live edition today. Do not adjust your audio. It is me hosting Joe today. Tom is busy, so you're going to have to put up with me, I'm afraid. We are joined by one guest coming back, which is Andrew. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. And making his Albion Obsessed debut, we've got Matthew. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. Honoured to be on here, definitely. How are you?
Yes, all good, mate, all good. Ready to reminisce about our short but sweet time in the Europa League. As I said to you before we went live, Matthew, we do like to ask our new guests three questions. We like to make sure it builds them as an Albion fan and gets us to understand you better. So, what was your first ever Albion game?
My first ever Albion game was back in 2011, first season at the Amex against Coventry. I believe the score was 2-1. I think one of the goal scorers was Romain Vincelot, and the other, I can't remember the other, if I'm honest, but yeah.
Nice one. And there's been a lot of players over that time span from the Championship to now. So could you pin down for me one favourite player that stood out for you?
It's like I said, it's a really, really tough question. But Knockhart, since he joined in, what was it, January 2016?
Yeah.
All the way through to when he left, just absolutely loved him. He was magical. I mean, to keep the Fukun bros happy, I'm sure they'd like to hear me say Knockhart, but not Knockhart, Buonanotte. But yeah, I'll probably sit with Knockhart, if I'm honest.
That's fair enough. And do you have a favourite Albion shirt?
That's the one I didn't really think about. I think the one we had last season, it wasn't the best looking, but it's iconic because we got into Europa League in it, you know? Favorite Albion shirt, like all time though. I'd say 17-18, to be honest. I really like the gold outlines on it.
Yeah, first Premier League shirt as well.
Had Murray on the back as well. Still got that somewhere, but yeah,
nice.
That's that one there actually as well.
Had to be Glenn Murray, the man that fired us to the Premier League, of course. Mm. In that season prior, and I remember when that shirt was unveiled, and it was on that sort of live. Well, I was watching it on a live stream because I stupidly booked a holiday to Lanzarote when they'd done the parade, and Knockhart came out in that shirt, and it was like, goodness me, we have arrived in the Premier League. And it, I think, quite fitting to talk about us getting into the Premier League, being such a huge achievement, when we're also talking about us having our first ever sort of venture into European football. So I guess let's start at the start. Andrew, we were drawn in what the media proclaimed the group of death. How did you feel when that draw was made?
It was a very exciting draw because this was obviously the first time we had ever been in Europe playing football, because it had never happened before. And when you look at those teams, you know, EAK Athens, and you've got Marseille, and it's just kind of, you do think at the time, this is not going to be easy. None of these teams were going to be easy, but it depending on how we were going to play in each game. And that's what it came down to. You know, our first game at home against EAK Athens, you know, whether we underestimated that game, I do not know. But obviously, they beat us fair and square, and that just goes to show the level of quality that this type of competition can really bring to a club like us, and how good we ended up having to be in the end to be able to kind of win the group. So yeah, there was a lot of quality on show during each game that we played, and the club have to be proud of what they did.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree with you there, Andrew. Matthew, we haven't spoken to you on the podcast before, so let's cast our mind back to the moment that we clinched European football, which was, of course, against Southampton at home. We didn't know what competition it would be in at that point. However, it was very likely that it would be the Europa League. How did it make you feel as an Albion fan that has been watching the club since those early days in the Championship at the Amex? Romain Vincelot, Ashley Barne, and then, you know, seeing fire ourselves into European competition.
Well, I just want to point out Mackel Smith as well.
Legend.
But, I mean, it was a huge game. I was really, really nervous throughout the whole 90 minutes. I remember when Walcott broke through and scored that second goal for Southampton, I was like devastated. But I don't know how it got ruled out. It's the tightest of margins. But yeah, it was an emotional day. It was also my granddad's last game at football, because unfortunately he's not physically able to get to games anymore. So my dad was in tears, and it was just a really, really special game all around for the club, for me, my family. And it was good for my granddad to see us clinch European football as well. So,
yeah, I always find it really emotional when people talk about the older generation watching this football club reach these heights of European football. And you know, I went on the Amex tour today, and I went with a Hereford fan who was 7 years old, stood on the terraces when we played that game against them. And, you know, that one moment in history has meant that all of this could be possible. And I just wonder how proud these people are watching us, you know, compete against Marseille, Ajax, beating, I know we didn't win on aggregate, but beating Roma at home. These are all huge nights for this football club, and it's definitely something to be celebrated, which is what we're going to do on tonight's live stream. So if you are joining us live and want to get involved, please do drop the comments below, and we will try to get through the comments as quickly as we can. Matthew, I asked Andrew about the draw. Do you remember how you felt at the time?
Yeah, I was watching it. It was pretty much the ideal group for me, because I wanted to see some big teams. I wanted, you know, AC Milan, when it was at the time. I can't remember particularly big teams, but Marseille was definitely up there. I wanted to see, you know, just a huge team in their ultras at the Amex. Big players as well, have we seen at the Amex so far. Unfortunately, Dybala was injured. I was looking forward to seeing him, if I'm honest. Not that he did us any favours in the first leg. But yeah, I was hoping for the big teams to come to the Amex mostly. And at the time, I was thinking also we'd give them a run for their money, because we just had an awesome season. We'd started the season really well as well. So yeah, I was optimistic, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Let's cast our minds back then to, I can't remember the date, you'll have to shoot me because of that, but let's cast our mind back to, I think it was September when we played our first Europa League game. It was a very, very rainy night at the Amex, so let's see what happened in that game.
To the edge, on mark, what a header! AK Athens have the lead. Pedro steps up and slides it in! Albion's first ever goal in Europe, scored by João Pedro. Piece delivery, 2-1, AK Athens. Stuttered run-up, Pedro perfect from the spot again. Albion level for a second time. And the long ball, and it's dropped. And an opportunity here for AK Athens to steal it. They lead 3-2.
So, Andrew, it was a baptism of fire for the Albion, losing 3-2 to Athens, as I say, on a very, very rainy night. As you said beforehand, was it a little bit of a lesson learned, do you feel, that night for the Albion?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the game itself, everybody was was well up for it. We went into this game not really knowing how this side was going to play. And I think we actually underestimated them. I think we thought we were just going to walk it, because it's something that we tend to think we're going to do. And yeah, they were quality. They had so much quality going forward. It was quite fantastic to see, you know, despite we were on the end of it as a club, it was just brilliant to see how much quality they had. And, you know, but actually getting a goal in that game, you know, through Pedro, it was a fantastic occasion for the club because it was the first goal we'd scored. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to see. The Amps was absolutely buzzing. It was, you know, you could see everybody was excited. And that's what this competition physically brings to a club of this kind, because it's just, like you say, never happened before.
Yeah, definitely. Just going to read out a few of the comments that we've received so far. So George has tuned in for his first live stream. Hello, George. And Bandito says, I still remember the day my granddad called 6-year-old me up to his computer where he had the current team's club photo up. He asked me to pick a player for me to support when we go. We've been going to matches every year since. The older generation are the reason we all support this football club. Absolutely, 100% right. You know, I've had many conversations with my granddad, my mum, my dad, who've, you know, seen all the rubbish times. So that's why, as I say, we want to celebrate the club's achievement of getting into Europe for the first time. Yes, it ended not when we didn't want it to. However, I think it's still something we should celebrate. Matthew, the Athens game, from your perspective, then it wasn't a result we wanted, but I think we probably couldn't have asked for a better game. It was sort of up and down, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was also the humbling that we needed because, as Andrew said, I thought as well, we went into the game in a way a little bit arrogant. We underestimated Athens. They were a really tough physical side. They got some really good quality in their team. In particular, I thought Amrabat was absolutely quality in both legs. But it also kind of concerned me as well. I didn't think Athens would be that strong of a side. They really impressed me in again, both legs. And it concerned me as well that we scored both goals from penalties and we didn't really have too many major chances from open play. So I thought the rest of the group was going to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah. And I think probably a lot of people thought that as well at the time. I certainly thought that we would maybe go to the Athens game. I was quite thankful we were playing Athens first because when you look at the pedigree of Marseille and Ajax, you think, oh gosh, you don't want to be playing those sort of European giants or sleeping giants for now, I think we'll call them. I think Marseille are doing... I don't even know how they're doing in the league, but I know that they're obviously strong in our Europa League group. Yeah, for me, it was just, you just hope that we would go out and just show the world the real Brighton. And I don't think we quite saw that until a little bit later on in the competition. Another baptism of fire that we had to go to Marseille next. Away, very tough place to go, the Velodrome there. Did any of you guys go to Marseille at all?
No. Wish I did, personally. I mean, the Velodrome is one of the most iconic, recognisable stadiums in Europe. But from the sounds of things, I'm quite glad I didn't go. But it would have been an experience seeing us come from 2-0 down at the Velodrome with that hostile atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned us coming from 2-0 down. Let's see how the game panned out in the south of France.
The 1-2 as well. Great ball across. Great goal. Marseille lead. Beautifully worked. Brighton hoping the damage doesn't get worse here, but it might, and it does. 2 in a minute for Marseille. It's all going wrong. Not well here, Lamptey. Now Mitoma. Mitoma cuts it back. Should be 2-1. It's 2-1. Pedro against Lopez. Pedro. He doesn't miss from the spot. Clinical.
So, Andrew, Matthew already said we'd come from 2-0 down. There were two quick goals in the space of a minute for Marseille in the first half. And we really saw the true De Zerbi Brighton come out in the second half, I think, and obviously came back to 2-0. How did you feel that game went for us?
Well, going into that game, it was kind of, you knew that Marseille were going to be top quality side again. You knew that was going to happen because they are. We knew we had to play well, but that first half was very dominant by them. By getting the two goals in the way they did, and they were very dominant. And for us to come out in that second half and play like we did and to get the goals back, that was a massive achievement by the team. You know, we played really, really well. And we deserved that draw out in Marseille. We deserved the draw, you know, something. And we played incredible. And it was the team spirit was there because they knew what was it. They knew that, you know, they could win the, you know, in their minds, they must have known that they could win this group if they played well enough to be able to create the chances to score. And that's exactly what they did. And, you know, Gross getting on the score sheet in that game, and, you know, Pedro. And yeah, it was just a magnificent thing to see. It really was.
Yeah, for sure. Matthew, that game, we had a few chances in the first half to maybe pull it back to 2-1 and go into the half with our heads held a little bit higher. But then obviously we came out and the second half performance was as good as it was. How important do you think that was in the context of the rest of our group stage?
I think going 2-0 down was, again, a bit of a humbling. I think we needed that because that's the level we were playing at. You know, we had to adjust. It was just two very avoidable goals. I think wasn't the first goal a steal mistake? If I might be wrong.
But yeah, and the second way, one was a dunking.
Yeah, dunk mistake. So yeah. Two avoidable goals, which at this level you get punished for. Teams are ruthless. So going into halftime 2-0 down, I was very, very disappointed. I feel like we got a goal out of a little bit out of nowhere. You know, we weren't doing much with the possession we had. I might be wrong with that, but
yeah, I mean, I was a little bit shocked when Pascal did pop up and score us that goal. I thought it was going to be one of those nights, where, you know, we'd create chances in the first half, we create a few. That maybe we should have done better with, and then it just phases out. And I think we're also lucky to get awarded the penalty at the end. I'm not saying lucky. I think Lamptey earned it.
He was very, very good, got to say.
Yeah,
he's 100%
at left back as well. I think he'd just played left back at Old Trafford as well and put in a fantastic performance there. So, you know, Tarek gives us that explosiveness up the wings and makes defenders make a challenge, and it's always going to be one way or the other. And obviously VAR, was it VAR helped us out that game?
I get that mixed up with
Athens.
It was quite the opposite, actually. I remember in the first half, I think, didn't we get a penalty in the first half, and then it was ruled, and then VAR ruled it out for something or other.
I think you're right.
And I think maybe that was just delusion, but I thought that should have been a penalty. I can't remember.
I mean, we're always going to call for it if there's a slight chance that we do that. So we didn't have to wait long for our first win in Europe, and it was home comforts that brought the Albion a 2-0 win against Ajax. Let's see how that played out.
No, this would be an excellent time to score just before half-time. And maybe Mitoma will do just that. Mitoma, save, it's in! João Pedro does it! He just spreads it out now to Adingra. Cuts inside, good work from Adingra. Into Fati this time for two!
So as I said, Andrew, home comforts brought Albion their first ever win in the Europa League. Ajax, it's no secret that they were out of form and have been for a long period this season. But still, to beat Ajax 2-0 at home, how special was that for this football club?
I don't think it really makes any difference whether Ajax were out of form or not, Joe, to be honest. I think Ajax were, you know, we played exceptionally. We were at home, we were in front of our own crowd, and we pulled a performance out the bag that I think many people didn't think was going to happen. I think we had had a couple of rough games before where we had kind of, you know, lost the first one, got a draw out the second one, and then we come back to the Amex and get, you know, a vital win, which that then boosted everything for us because we knew that, you know, we were on the, you know, we were on the brink of possibly doing something special within the group. And that's, and that turned everything for us at that time. We knew that we were going to have a big game with Marseille back at the Amex, but, you know, you've got to give the club and the team a lot of credit for putting every ounce of pressure on that game to be able to do what they were doing. Yeah, it was just a fantastic win by the team on the night. And, you know, De Zerbi did everything, the players did everything De Zerbi wanted, and it turned out to be a perfect evening.
Yeah, Matthew, Andrew says a perfect evening for the Albion, keeping a clean sheet. I think that was our first clean sheet of the season as well. So that was a huge boost for us for the rest of this season going forwards. Ajax at home, first ever Europa League win under our belts. Really special, right?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate everything Andrew said, really. Yes, it is Ajax. It's a huge club. They've won numerous Champions Leagues, even semi-finalists back in 2019 in the Champions League. Yes, they are terrible this season, but I think the fact it's Ajax and the fact they're such a huge club in a huge presence, just it's so special to us, given what, 26 odd years ago, what we were going through and what they were going through. It's such a contrast.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't have to wait long for our second win in Europe, which was a mirror of the game at home. Let's see how things panned out for the Albion in Amsterdam.
Oh, given away, Adingra. Adingra, he finds Fati, he charges forward, massive chance, and Fati slides it in. Very nicely done from Dahoud, who now comes to join the attack. Fati racing goalwards. Fati slips it to Adingra. Big chance this. Adingra! Albion double the lead.
Matthew, let's stay with you on this one, mate. That Fati Adingra link up was something that I hoped we saw sort of take a little bit more fruition in the league. But obviously was diminished by Fati getting injured, Adingra going to AFCON, and also being injured for a little bit as well. How special was it to see those two link up that night? And they were just unplayable.
Well, I mean, the whole team was unplayable. We were brilliant that night. And I really thought we were going to see the best out of Fati. And that was, I thought before he got injured, we'd seen the best out of Fati, and we've seen he's clearly a talented player. He's just in terrible form. But again, Adingra, even Dahoud, I think that was one of his, what, three good games for the club. He was pretty unplayable as well, I thought. De Zerbi got it bang on, and winning away again at Ajax and Johan Cruyff Arena. It's just such a special event for the club.
Yeah, for sure. Andrew, Matthew mentions that we just saw the best of Fati, probably getting towards his peak and then obviously getting injured. I remember as well him coming on against Bournemouth. Him and Matoma came on against Bournemouth earlier this season as well, and just completely flipped the game on its head. How has Fati been a disappointment for you? And a lot of people saying waste of money, £7 million for a loan. Has he lived up to the expectation, do you think?
It's very difficult to say, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, he's a young player that's got an awful lot of talent. You know, he's come from Barcelona, so, you know, you would expect him to be, you know, he's got quality, but the problem is he seems to waste it when he's on the ball. To be able to do what he did in that particular game and the link-up play for that first goal to be scored, it's just, it's wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see a player that can do that and not think twice about what he's doing at that moment in time. And then the link-up play with Adingra, it's kind of, yeah, I just think it's, he's not done as good as he could have done. And I think that's purely because of injuries. And we know, we knew he was going to be prone to injuries anyway, because obviously that's what's happened back in Barcelona. You know, that's his club, and, you know, and he's not played for a while for them because of injuries. But he's come to Brighton. He's come on loan to us, and he's done a lot for us when he is playing, but he also needs to do a little bit better. I think he's got a lot of quality, and he's not quite showing enough of it right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. Matthew, De Zerbi speaks about Fatty needing to believe in himself more and it being the mental side of the game that he's not quite getting to grips with. The mental side of football, I think, is something that's really glossed over by fans. Coming to a new country, a new culture, not played in England before, not played in the Premier League before. Do you think that maybe if he was a permanent signing, we would be a little bit more excited by him because we think, okay, maybe with a full preseason, he can come back and learn from the experience he's had. With it being alone, it's just a bit of like, oh, well, that didn't work, so that was a waste.
Well, I feel with Fatty, it's, De Zerbi wanted to bring him in not to put pressure on his shoulders and not to put pressure to, you know, play well. It was just, I think, in De Zerbi's mind, he just wanted him because he knows he's a talented player. Like you said, he's coming to the Premier League, the most physical league in Europe, and he hardly even spoke the language at the time. So, of course, it's going to be difficult. But as you say, again, maybe if he was brought in on a permanent, say, I would do 30, very maximum 40 million for him. And given Barcelona's current financial situation, they might, who knows, they might even accept it. But the major part with Anzu is his wages. But again, I feel like there's also been a little too much pressure on him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So based on what you've seen this season, would you want the club to bring him back?
It's a tough question. I don't think I've really seen enough of him, but he's clearly a very, very talented player. And I think also bringing him back depends on De Zerbi being here next year.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's right what you say. We probably haven't seen enough of him. And the sample size we're working with is very small because he had the great purple patch ahead of his injury. And then he's come back and he's not quite had the chance to sort of settle down and get back into the rhythm that he was in. So, yeah, I think it would be a mixed bag with fans. What do you think, Andrew, that if Ansu Fati was to be bought in for 30, 40 million pounds, that people would have an opinion on that? Or do you think people would be quite happy?
I think people would have an opinion. I think, of course, they would. Because at the end of the day, you know, 30, 40 million, it's a lot of money for a young talent that's injury prone. You know, that's not his fault, because it's just the way things happen with football itself. But I think what we're paying for him at the moment on this loan agreement that we've got with Barcelona, you know, it is a lot of money, but the club clearly believe that this young lad has got a lot of talent within himself to be able to bring him in. You know, we were all excited when he was first brought into the club. You know, well, we've got somebody from Barcelona that's joining Brighton Hove Albion Football Club on loan, which is unheard of. And we have to be grateful to the club for doing this type of loan deal. And we've kind of watched him grow. And from that point, we need to say to ourselves, has he done enough as a player for us to go out there and say, right, we will purchase him on a full contract at the end of the loan period, or has he still got to do more to prove it, not just to the fans, but also to the manager, to say that he's worth kind of buying at the end of all of this? Because, you know, that type of money is a hell of a lot of money to the club, and they've got to spend it, and they've got to spend it wisely. And, you know, is this young chap worth that money to spend? That's the biggest question they've got to ask themselves.
Very true. And with Ibrahim Osman coming in, Matthew, probably something that the club won't explore to have Ansu back on a loan or a permanent deal. Would you think that Ibrahim Osman is that sort of replacement for Ansu going forwards?
I would have thought so, yeah. And we've been linked with various wingers, you know, Balji from Copenhagen as well. But I think Ansu was a little bit of a... I'm not saying it was a rush, but since we didn't get Kudus, which I'm absolutely gutted we didn't get him, because you see him at West Ham, he's absolutely balling. But I think at the time, yeah, Fatty was sensible. It was obviously realistic. Zerbi thought that, and he had a conversation with him on the phone. I'm really excited to see Osman coming in preseason. Hopefully Zerbi's still here.
It's hard to talk about prospects for next season, isn't it? Because we just don't know what's going on with De Zerbi. Is he going to sign a new contract? Is he going to go to Liverpool? Is he going to go to Bayern? Is he going to go to Barca? It's just all up in the air. Would you think that's something that is playing on the players at the moment? Or do you think they've still got very much got a task in hand and it's focusing on Liverpool after the international break?
Of course, we've still got a task in hand to achieve European football for next season. De Zerbi said numerous times that he's only focused on staying until the end of the season. So I think the players and everyone involved with the club has no reason to be distracted until the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Andrew, something that's come out from various sources is that De Zerbi will stay somewhere he feels happy. It's not so much the sort of attraction or money or how much he's getting to sign. He just wants to be happy in a job. Do you think that the January transfer window would have made him a little bit more unhappy at Brighton, or do you think he's still proud to represent this club, and do you see him here next season?
I think he's a manager that's, you know, For starters, we are lucky to have De Zerbi. We are totally lucky to have him. He's got us a long, long way. And that's what everybody has to remember, that he's come in. He's got us into, you know, he's got us into Europe. I think he's stabilised himself enough to be able to stay. And I want him to stay because we all love him. You know, we're all shouting his name from the terraces and stuff like that. And that must mean a hell of a lot to a manager that he is that, even though it's kind of, you know, from a distance. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's very, very disappointed in coming out of Europe. I know he's very disappointed. He's made that perfectly clear, you know, that we just didn't do enough. But I think he's going to be there for a while. I can't see him going anywhere.
I really, really hope you're right, Andrew.
So do I. I can't. I just think it's, you know, I know he's been linked with various other clubs, but I think, you know, I heard on a particular radio station that they all turned around and said that, you know, they're glad that Brighton are out of Europe because De Zerbi doesn't deserve it. And I'm thinking that's very harsh, very, very harsh. You know, it just hasn't, you know. People have got to realise that this is the first time we've been in this competition. It's never happened before. And we are on a learning curve with this. You know, we're sixth and seventh in the Premier League at the moment. We have a great opportunity to do it again in the future if we don't do it this season.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that fans have to remember, is that if we don't do it this season, Tony Bloom's not just going to roll over and admit defeat. Next season, we'll be challenging for Europe again. This club is in the healthiest hands it could possibly be in. So I think people just have to sort of take a step back and realise You know, we're not Leicester, we're not Southampton, we're not going to just fall down the leagues like they have done and fall from grace. We're still there to compete. It's going to be hard for the rest of the season, no doubt. But we've got to play 7 of the top 10, I believe, in our running, which is going to be very difficult. But let's turn our attention back to the wonderful group stage. This was a date that I was looking out for very much because it was on my birthday. We played Athens away. Unfortunately, I didn't go. Matthew, I know you did, so I'll come to you first in a second. But let's see how Pedro's penalty put us within touching distance of topping our group.
Pedro against Stankovic. Ice in his veins. Pedro simply doesn't miss from the spot.
Simply doesn't miss from the spot. Matthew, you were tear gas, mate. Tell me, how was Athens?
what a brilliant way to put it. Definitely experience. I mean, Athens, starting off Athens is a beautiful, beautiful city. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been. You got into the state, into the ground about 2 hours early. It was about close to an hour bus ride there on a hot, sweaty bus, and I had the chance to change out of tracksuit either, so I was just stuck for the rest of the evening in Brighton shirt and tracksuit bottoms. So that wasn't ideal, but and then yeah, we get to the stadium. It's if I'm honest, it's all pretty well run by this point. Get into the stadium, and then there's this one angry Greek bloke who starts shouting at people. And so that was pretty unpleasant. The toilets were absolutely flooded. There was only about one bar. But apart from the complaining, it was a really good experience to see Brighton in Europe. I mean, I've seen us play Portsmouth as well. I know others have seen Hereford and whatnot, but just surreal as a lifelong fan, seeing us come up through League One to Europa League and traveling with this team is special.
Yeah, for sure. And it was a really hard fought game, wasn't it? We had to sort of huff and puff and stay in the game when we needed to. I think Athens had some really good chances. I think hit the woodwork a few times. And obviously the penalty was given late in the second half. And you wouldn't want any other man, would you, to step up to win the game for us and João Pedro. I mean, just how clinical and fantastic he's been for us this season, and obviously gutting to lose him for an extended period at the moment. How have you seen João Pedro this season?
I mean, obviously he's been absolutely crucial to us. He's scored, 20-odd goals, and he's been a huge miss, not just because of his goals and his ability to win penalties and step up and then score them. His hold-up play, his dribbling, his progressive runs, everything about him, we just miss. And Welbeck, give credit to him. He's done a really good job trying to replicate that role. He's been asked to, I think, drop deeper and play a very similar role, but obviously a huge miss.
Yeah, massive. And Andrew, Pozzy Poz in the comments. Mark, I know Mark's first name. Why did I just read it out as Pozzy Poz? Mark. I don't think that De Zerbi will leave in the summer. I don't think he's proved himself enough for one of the big clubs. I believe he'll stay at least for one more season. Just touching back on what you said, another person who thinks De Zerbi will stay. And something that's been mentioned a lot to me at the moment as well is that these big defeats, 4-0, 3-0, maybe proves that De Zerbi might not be ready for a big job. What do you think of that, Andrew?
I don't. As fans, we can't say whether he's ready or whether he's not ready, because that's not down to us. That's down to De Zerbi himself. And we have to respect that. As far as I'm concerned, and I hope all the other fans that are either watching or listening agree, that we have a special manager. He's still got to prove. He's still proving within himself. You know, he's still got a lot to learn. He keeps on saying that, and it's kind of, you can't. You know, we've had. You know, we've stabilized ourselves with him, and I think we are doing incredibly well with him. And I think we just need to kind of back him all the way And I think anybody that gets on his back for no reason whatsoever, but just to have a moan, I think they just need to kind of, you know, back off a little bit, because he's doing, you know, he's a wonderful manager. And, you know, the club went in for him because he was the only manager they had that they wanted after Potter left. And, you know, he's done amazing so far. He's done a wonderful job, to be perfectly honest. He's, you know, we've stabilised ourselves. We're within the top 10 of the Premier League at this moment in time. You know, and I know he wants to do better. And, you know, you can see he wants to do better. And you can see how frustrated he gets when the games go completely against us.
Yeah, definitely.
But we all have to stick by him, because that's what we do as fans.
100%. Would fully agree with that. Talking of sticking by our team right to the very end, let's take a trip down memory lane and think about that wonderful game at home against Marseille.
Lallana, Gross, great ball for Pedro. It's opened up. Pedro! Albion were not to be denied. Look at the emotion. Top spot within Brighton's grasp, thanks to the Europa League top scorer, João Pedro, who does it again on European night.
Does it again on European nights. I remember before that game, I tweeted out the video, because I was trying to get myself psyched up for the game. I tweeted out the video of McAllister scoring at the Amex against Man United, that last-minute penalty. And I said, and I don't really say it because it's funny, I said, this is the best moment the Amex will ever see. This will never be topped. João Pedro said, Alexis, hold my beer. And my gosh, that was easily the best moment I've ever experienced in football. I said from that moment, I don't care what happens next. The fact that that's just happened in front of our very eyes. Matthew, how special was that moment, seeing João Pedro jump into the crowd, 89th minute winner to top our Europa League group, the group of death, they called it.
Just words fail me. I mean, such a special moment for the club. We've come such a long way. And the fact it was in the last minute, and like, I there's some games where I get a feeling where we are going to go on and get a win. And that was just one of those games. I was like, you know, it's coming. And I saw that the chance got through to Pedro. I was like, this is it. And then bang, top corner, just perfect. One of those perfect life moments. Just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, 100%.
I got the Zala as well. There it is. Get goosebumps every single time I look at it.
Shout out to Mazzala as well. We run giveaways with them on occasion, and they're great at what they do. So if you haven't checked them out, this isn't a sponsor plug, but do go and check them out. They're really good prints. Mark is just pointing out Pedro's winner against Marseille was up there with the Reinout goal in 1997. Yeah, I mean, you know, this club has experienced so many incredible moments. And, you know, in the 83 Cup final, fans probably thought this can't get any better. When we won League One and got promoted and got our home back, fans probably thought this can't get much better. When we got to the Premier League, fans thought this can't get much better. João Pedro scores against Marseille. Andrew, surely it can't get any better.
Well, there you go. It says it all, doesn't it? Yeah, look, that particular game, we went into that game knowing that if they got a draw out of it, they would win the group. So we had to go into this game and we had to win this game. Now, the most likeliest person that would come up with something special would be Pedro, whether it be in the first 10 minutes of that game or whether it be, you know, in the 90th minute. We knew he would do something if he could. My goodness me, did he do something? He took that ball so well, and it flew off of his boot, and the goalkeeper just it was almost like he was just watching it, really, to be honest. It flew into the back of that net, and that made history in itself with only a couple of minutes left in the game to go. And we knew we had potentially won that and won the group. And that was a special night. And when the final whistle blew, you know, the scenes were crazy. You know, the city heard it from miles away, you know, and it was just one of those nights that will always live in the memory of the Amex and the fans that love the Amex. And that's, you know, you can't. And I think even more special is when Pedro then goes and jumps in with the fans and has a little party himself, which was even more incredible, you know. And then you've got De Zerbi and the rest of the team on the bench actually having a party of themselves with the fans. We may never get that. We may never see that again. And that's why we have to make it so special and keep those memories alive, because it is just one of those. It's a beautiful game, and that's why we all love it. And special nights at the Amex, in Europe, in the Premier League, it's what we do best. When we're on form, it's what we do best, you know.
100%. I asked Siri to define clutch to me. It showed me a picture of João Pedro. So that, I think, sums up all you need to know about how special that man is at turning up at those really, really important moments and turning a game on its head. I mean, you spoke about the strike, Andrew. It was an absolute thumper of a strike, hitting that top corner on the far side. And the one thing I always remember is that the video from one of the fans in the East Stand went viral, seeing João Pedro run towards with the passion in his face, Lewis Dunk grabbing him as he stood on the advertising hoardings. It's just, yeah, as you say, we have to cherish these moments because they have happened and they are in our club's history now, and it's something that we can celebrate and can be happy about. I know fans will banter us for celebrating the fact that we won our group and then went out at the first hurdle, second hurdle actually, because we got through to the next stage on a bye. So, you know, that's something. We didn't have to play the round of 32.
it really doesn't matter what other people think. No. You know, we have a special club within the Albion. We have a special manager. We have a special chairman. We have a special chief executive. You know, this club has come from, you know, everyone knows the history behind the club. And we've come from the brink of almost not being in the league to you know, being in Europe, to, you know, going to a semi-final of an FA Cup and stuff like that from last season. You know, the club is amazing. And I think the club just need to understand how much the fans love them.
Yeah, 100%. Matthew, I've always said that there needs to be a film about this football club, like a full-on dramatised events of what this club has been through. I know we're getting a documentary, but I would just love for something to pay homage to the fact that we've come from people cutting up the mud from the Goldstone ground because it was being sold to this moment right now where we're talking about our first ever European campaign. We've probably overdone it this podcast, but just drum in again just how special this is that, you know, we're sat here talking about the fact that we're disappointed we've gone out of the Europa League. There we go. I got it. Got there in the end.
Well, yeah. As I'm just so proud of the club, the journey, and even the other day on Thursday night, I was just proud the boys gave everything, man. I'm proud of the journey. I love this club.
Yeah, I think that's all that needs to be said, is that we're proud of the journey. That night against Roma, we won't talk about the first leg. That's dead in the pan now. That we took Roma to the Amex. I know they didn't play Dybala, they didn't play Lukaku, but we beat Roma at the Amex as well. And again, a really special night that we can walk away from and be very proud of. Just as we draw the episode to a close, Matthew, I know that you are doing a little foray into TikTok and Instagram content for yourself. So just tell the viewers and the listeners where they can find you and what you plan on releasing soon.
Yeah, on TikTok, Mavery Football, little side hustle, I guess. But I take big inspiration from you guys doing social media stuff. You know, Ryan Adset as well, Seagull Social. It's all like inspiration based, I suppose. Go follow. feels weird plugging my own stuff, you know.
Honestly, you know, when you've got a passion, you've got to follow it, and when you want to talk about the football and the club that you love the most, and make creative stuff about it, it just gives you that extra buzz. Honestly, mate, keep it up. You do it really well.
Really appreciate it.
Go and follow him. Do it now. Andrew, anything you want to shout out, or anyone you want to shout out?
No, I don't think there is. Just kind of, you know, just to say, you know, my family know how passionate I am about this club, and sometimes I can annoy them with it and stuff. But yeah, it's just, you know. But apart from that, the club itself is what I'm passionate about, and I always will be, regardless of whether we, you know, whatever results we get in the Premier League, whatever results we get wherever, there will always be a love for them. And, you know, there is no other words you physically can say that will ever kind of make any, you know, it's just fantastic that we've done what we've done, and we just need to try and see if we can get back into Europe for next season, and just back this team as much as possible, get behind them, and just, you know, come and watch them. Come and watch Brighton play. If you've never seen them play before, come and watch them play, because it will change your perspective about the club and about the way things are.
100%. I don't think you need to sell it much more than this club is special and we've got the best manager in the world. So there you go. No, we don't. He's terrible. Stay away, Liverpool. Stay away, Bayern Munich. Stay away, Barcelona. Anyway, as we draw to the episode to a close, let's just remind ourselves one final time. Brighton and Hove Albion played in European competition. How incredible. All that's left for me to say is that the Albion Obsessed podcast are trying to hit 1,000 subscribers by the end of this season. There's not long to go, and so please do hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, share it with your friends, if you think they would enjoy our content, and go over to One Klopp Shop for all your football shirt needs. Enter code Albion Obsessed at checkout for an extra 10% off your order. And wherever you may be, whenever you may be, we will see you next time. Cheers, guys. Take care.